Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, enough with the music. Don't have a lot of time this week, guys. I made it a short show, a short training show of 1 hour, so I want to get started right away. Welcome to the Mental Power Hour. My name is T. LeVon Lawrence, NeuroSculpting Certified Brain Training Consultant, author and instructor of the NeuroSculpting Brain Training System for better mental focus, better mental concentration, and stronger mental discipline and willpower. Greetings. I'm talking to you live from beautiful Seattle, Washington, sporting a fantastic view of the mountains and gorgeous vistas of scenic Puget Sound. Fact, strong scientific evidence suggests that parents who make sure their child learn effective attention control skills improve their child's likelihood for academic and lifelong success. Attention control skills directly affect every other cognitive control skill that a child needs for classroom success and success later in life in the working world and in business. Fact, a survey of the top owners, managers, and executives in the business world found the number one characteristic contributing to and determining the chance of extraordinary success in the business world is the ability to concentrate. The ability to concentrate is the number one desired characteristic among owners, managers, and executives in the top companies all around the world, the ability to concentrate. According to the survey, that is the number one characteristic. That's the thing that they want in anybody they hire, to know whether or not that person is going to be able to contribute to the company in a way that's going to make the company more successful and them successful. Fact, through a simple combination of practical physical, mental, and study habits, students and adult learners can boost their academic performance and get more enjoyment out of the pursuit. Folks, have I got a show for you today. Better mental focus for students and adult learners. Now, first, I want to reference a training show I did on September 9th, 2010. The name of the show was Achieving the Zone and Flow States. You can find it in our brain training archive here at Blog Talk Radio. Just go to our show page, the actual show page itself, for the Mental Power Hour. When you scroll down a bit, you'll see a list of archived shows. Again, I don't do talk shows, I do training shows. You can click on Find the Shows from the month of September 2010, and you'll see a show there called Achieving the Zone and Flow States. It's a magnificent show for students and for athletes and people in sports and competitive arenas also. Now, in that show, I talked about a few things that directly relate to students and adult learners who are looking to have better academic success and better success when taking tests or performing on any time you need to perform when things are on the line, when you're risking it all, when you really need to do well. If you can reach that zone, put your mind in that peak performance state whenever you want to, at will, then you can consistently perform at a higher level. You don't make the same types of mistakes that other people make on average, and you enjoy yourself more when you are engaged in the necessary habits that will bring you the kind of success that you need. For instance, when you are able to get into the peak, into those peak performance mental states, you will enjoy studying a lot more. You'll learn more while you're studying, and you'll retain more when you're studying also. So check out that show, the September 9th, 2010 show, Achieving the Zone and Flow States. It directly relates, because especially there are three things I talked about in that show that you're definitely going to need to refer to, because at least a couple of these things I'll kind of talk about in this show, but I spoke of them in a different way in the previous episode, and that is the power of attention control, the power of mental concentration, and the power of awareness. Now, when I say the power of, I'm not talking about some esoteric principle. I'm talking about your normal mental functions, how you can tap into them and unleash them for your own benefit and your own profit. Now, when I talk about attention control, I talk about the fact that attention is like a lens or a camera that you can control. I talked about how attention actually gives you, can make every sense that you have, taste, touch, sound, smell, how it can make all these senses more vivid, how you can use each of these senses to improve your ability to control attention. When I talked about the power of mental concentration, I talked about the ability to clear the mechanism, something that is so important for students and adult learners, to be able to get the garbage out of your thoughts and out of your mind when you need to have mental calm in order to be able to do what you need to do, to be able to study what you need to study and retain that information. You need to be able to clear away the noise and the chaotic thoughts. You need to be able to clear the mechanism. That's the power of mental concentration. And then you've got to be able to hold attention where you want it to be held for as long as necessary. And then I talked about the power of awareness as it relates to the psychological present, your ability to keep your attention in the present moment and not get caught up in thought. So make sure to take a listen to that show. A second point I want to bring up that actually relates to last week's show. Now, last week's show was about improving, having better mental focus for sports and for competitive arenas. Now, there were some things I talked about in last week's show that also directly relate to today's show. Excuse me just a moment. Take a nice sip of coffee there. In last week's show, I talked about the fact that when it comes to mental focus, and this is in any area, not just with students and adult learners, but with business people, with executives, with athletes. Any of these shows I'm doing in this series on mental focus has the same standard, that the rules of mental focus, the skills of mental focus, and the benefits of mental focus apply at all times. Whatever you learn when it comes to developing your mental focus, whatever skills you acquire can be applied to every area of your life. And that's because mental focus is a cognitive absolute. That means it is locked into your brain when you acquire it. And you have the choice, you have the ability to benefit in every area of your life rather than just one area of your life. For instance, I gave an illustration last week of athletes like Tiger Woods and others who managed to develop strong mental focus in one single area but failed to apply it in the other areas of their life. And there's always a penalty to pay for that. Now, it's not always going to be automatic that you apply these skills to every area of your life. You can possess the skills to where they benefit one area, but you have to choose to apply them in other areas. Now, if Tiger and certain other athletes I mentioned had chosen to apply what they learned in their sport to the other areas of their life, then they wouldn't have gone through the troubles that they went through. And these guys, they have to learn the lesson. They pay the penalty, and then hopefully they finally get their act together. Now, you as a student or as an adult learner, when you are seeking to develop your mental focus, there are skills you're going to need to acquire. These skills will benefit you in the academic world, in the classroom, or in your private time when you are studying, when you're taking tests. They will benefit you. But if you fail to apply these skills to the other areas of your life, then you're going to run into some serious conflict that will cause distraction and turn around and affect your academic performance. And we don't want that. We want balance, balance in all things. So I just want to make sure I reiterate that point, that mental focus is a cognitive absolute. Don't just learn to apply attention control skills, mental concentration skills, and mental focus skills just for your studies. You've got to use the rest of your life to continue to build those things and to be able to apply those benefits across the board. So, today's show is Better Mental Focus for Students and for Adult Learners. We're going to discuss attention control techniques and their practical application to studies and test taking. Matter of fact, we're going to start out with the techniques, and then I'm going to talk about various philosophies that are going to be able to help you. We're going to start out with techniques, so it's going to be very important that you listen. I'm going to talk a little bit about studying scenarios and how to apply attention control to be able to help yourself. And I'm going to talk about test-taking scenarios so that you can find a way to move from pressure, worry, and anxiety and place yourself into the zone, the peak performance zone, so that test-taking is easy for you. So we want studying to be easier, and we want it to be more enjoyable, and we want exams and test-taking to be easier for you and to be more enjoyable. Now, also on today's show, I'm going to talk a little bit about live personal and group training summaries for the week. What have I been talking to people about live and in personal and training with groups and businesses? I'm going to go over that a little bit. You're welcome to call in during the show if you want. The number is 347-884-9397. If you're listening to this show because you access the Brain Training Archive on Blog Talk Radio and you do want to contact me, you can give me a call at 904-638-3851 and make sure to leave a message because I'm a really busy guy. I have to go in and listen to the messages, find out who called, and then I will contact you back. You can also email me, which a lot of people do, and the email is trainer@neurosculpting.com, NEURO-sculpting.com, and I'll answer any questions that you have there also. So, how valuable is this episode for you? What are you going to get out of it? You heard the description for the show. The main thing I want for you as a student or adult learner, I want you to be able to have an easier and more enjoyable time when you're studying. I want you to be able to shake off procrastination and the anxiety you feel when you got to sit down and do something you may not even want to do. I also want you to be able to enjoy the fact that you're about to take tests and exams and have full confidence that you're going to perform well in those things. I want you to have the techniques that you can access and use anytime to be able to pull yourself out of an anxious and worrisome state and get yourself in a state where you are in the zone, or that where you're in the flow. Matter of fact, I would love it if you were to be able to never be in disempowering states. And you can do that by developing the mental focus habit. Place yourself in a cognitive, a continuous and consistent mental state where you are looking forward to class time, study time, and exam time. You can't wait to get to it. That's the kind of value I hope that you'll be able to get out of this show by doing what I suggest. All I ask in return is that you share this information with somebody else. On the Blog Talk Radio page, you'll find a Facebook link and you'll find a Twitter link and some other links. Share this episode with somebody. Let other people know that you're listening to valuable information that can help them also. Tweet this. Facebook this, like this. Get it out there. That's all I ask in return. I've got a gift for you if you haven't already signed up for the 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness course. It is a free, no-cost brain training course that you can use to actually solidify the information that I'm about to give you now. It's filled with at least 25 different techniques that you can use to improve your brain health and brain fitness. Get control over your attention. Open the door for consistent mental concentration skills. 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness. It's absolutely free. All you got to do is go to the NeuroSculpting Online Training Studio. Look up top, you'll find a tab that says free 7-day course. Just pop in your email address. You'll get a confirmation email. Make sure you check your spam folder. Make sure that email doesn't get lost in spam. You go ahead and you do the confirmation. You'll get a follow-up email that allows you to go download 2 PDFs. One is 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness. The other PDF is The Power of Concentration, the combination of which will give you everything you need to know, everything you need to practice to make a major difference in your level of cognitive control skill, your ability to control your attention, your ability to literally affect and control and manage your own thoughts and emotions, to be able to give you personal power where you may have not had personal power ever in any arena. So that's my gift to you, so go ahead and check it out. The Mental Power Hour is brought to you by the NeuroSculpting Mental Training Studio. For the life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower while enhancing brain health and brain fitness, visit the studio at www.neurosculpting.com. That's NEURO-sculpting.com. Next week's show, we're going to talk about the power of attention control, how brain training for attention control should be applied to daily life. We're going to explore how the cognitive control skills you learn through attention control training can be used in everyday situations for major personal, career, and financial benefit. The big disclaimer: the information we provide on the Mental Power Hour is for educational and entertainment purposes only. We do not claim nor suggest you ignore the advice of legitimately qualified mental health care professionals. If you feel you may have a serious mental health issue, you should consult your doctor. So, over this past week, I've been talking to individuals, to groups, and to businesses. And some of the things that have popped up a lot during this past week's training, live training with people, students I've been talking to, there's something you need to realize, and teachers who might be listening to this show who are looking to maybe gather some ideas on how to teach their kids how to have better attention in class. Teachers and instructors who demand attention but don't know how to teach it cause unnecessary stress for themselves and for their learners. If you're an instructor, a coach, or a teacher, the worst thing you can do is deprive yourself of added skill by simply demanding that people pay more attention rather than teaching them how to do it. One of the most powerful things you can do for another human being is to actually learn attention control skills for yourself in order that you can teach it to them. Because, again, attention control affects every other major cognitive control skill necessary for personal, academic, and business success. If you can have absolute mastery over what you do with your attention, there's nothing you cannot achieve when you set your goals. Attention control is the most powerful skill, cognitive skill, a human being can possess. So, teachers and instructors, learn attention control skills the way a carpenter learns how to use tools. Then you'll be able to give those tools to someone else instead of merely demanding something that you don't know how to teach. Another thing that came up a lot this week Overlearning. Overlearning is when seeking substitutes for action. There are people, lots of people, who I encounter who spend so much time learning psychology and philosophy and self-help that they never make it real in their life. They read dozens and scores and some people even hundreds of books, but they do that as a substitute for actually embodying the things that they've learned in the past. Rather than actually practicing and mastering the fundamental things they've learned, they'll just go back to the bookstore and grab another book. They'll hit Amazon.com and order another book. At some point, you've got to burn the books and actually master what you've read. And as a brain training instructor, I run into a lot of people who when I even after I speak to them and we develop a strategy for them to train their brain and overcome issues that they have in their career and their academics, we'll put together a plan. I'll get buy-in from them. They will let me know why it's absolutely important for them to do. And then when I speak to them the next week or 2 weeks later, I find out that they never did what we came up with and what we planned, because they went out and picked up another book and they became interested in the book and now they're learning this new thing, which they're never going to master, because as soon as I get them to, okay, well, let's apply this, they're going to go out and get another book. And at some point, you got to throw away your books and you got to put your shoulder to the grindstone and go for it. Don't allow seeking to substitute for real action so that you can make that knowledge real in your life. Another thing that came up several times is the nature of the subconscious mind. Guys, don't waste your time trying to engage in wasteful intellectual work trying to figure out what the subconscious mind is. I will tell you what it is, and the answer may not satisfy you, but this is it. The subconscious mind is your brain, the parts that you do not directly affect, but which directly affect your everyday life. You can't do anything about the way the subconscious mind works. All you can do is use your conscious awareness, who you are in the present moment, to affect your own life. Don't worry about the nature of the subconscious mind. The only thing you need to do is take action in the present moment in a strategic way. Don't distract yourself. Again, it's overlearning. It's overlearning. Yes, the subconscious mind is the source of all the chaotic thoughts and mental noise that distracts you day after day after day. But that noise, that chatter, that constant mechanical circular inner dialogue and those chaotic unwanted thoughts are just a tiny fraction of the subconscious mind. It is not the subconscious mind. It's just a tiny fraction. So don't worry about it. The only thing you need to worry about and master, and I said worry, but concern yourself with, the only thing you need to concern yourself with is mastering your attention so that you can master the ability to concentrate, so that you can master the ability to focus your mind consciously, so that you can build the life you really want, so that you can own your life. And you need to beware, because your brain is an amazing, powerful mechanism. And it is so clever that it has the ability, again, another thing that came up a lot this week in training, your brain has the ability to literally convert the concept of owning your own life into a distraction. Your brain can take your effort of mastering your attention and turn it into a distraction while it turns distraction into a necessity. This is something I run into every single day with mental fitness trainees. Every single day, I'm having to tell somebody and remind them that their training is not a distraction. The brain will do everything it can to maintain the status quo. The term for that is called homeostasis, neurocognitive homeostasis. It is when the brain is doing everything it can to maintain the status quo and keep you in your comfort zone to keep change from happening. Your brain will allow you to suffer endlessly under the misassumption that where you are is better than the unknown territory you're seeking. So far as your brain is concerned, now this is the older, more base and fundamental portions of your brain down at the back, down near the bottom, near the brainstem, that is making this happen. The fear and anxiety of the unknown. So far as your brain is concerned, it's better for you to suffer in familiarity than to take risk in an unfamiliar paradise. It's a strange thing, but that's the way the brain works. So when you start taking steps to improve your attention, to develop mental concentration, to develop strong, powerful mental focus, to develop your own willpower, when you start getting into those exercises and techniques and you start taking a look at your life and seeing where you can make improvement, your brain is going to find a way to try to convince you that what you're doing is interfering with your suffering, that somehow your suffering is necessary. I'm on the phone with a trainee. He says, T. Levon, man, this is great stuff, but how can I fit it in while I'm partying? I'm like, dude, didn't you just tell me last week that your partying is ruining your grade point average? Didn't you tell me that if you fail out of school, your family is going to be shamed, tens of thousands of dollars will have been flushed down the drain? Didn't you tell me that if you fail from school, you're going to wind up doing something that you don't want to do? You told me this, and now you're telling me that you want me to tell you how to find a way to fit your mental training around your partying? Guys, this is what happens when the brain is able to convince you that what's good for you is actually an interference for what's bad for you. So beware of a clever brain. Homeostasis is not a joke. When you want a better life, especially a better mental life, your brain will find a way to distract you. And it's your job to do whatever is necessary to control your attention, yank it out of thoughts, and bring it back into the present moment so that you can see the truth about what's going on in your thoughts, in your emotions, and in your impulses, so that you can detect that type of insidious behavior on the behalf of your brain. Every day I have to deal with this. Heck, I have to deal with it from myself, and I'm the mental fitness trainer, for crying out loud. You think my brain willingly goes into this uncharted territory of more cognitive and personal power? No. Every day, from the moment I open my eyes, I have to do the same thing that I tell you today to do. Because if I don't do them, within a couple of weeks, old mental habits will start to creep in. So that's why it's a lifestyle for me, because I know how the brain behaves. From the moment I open my eyes, I won't even get out of bed until I have absolute control of my attention in the present moment. Because the moment you open your eyes, your brain is already starting to race, trying to figure out, who am I? What is my purpose? What am I going to do today? What should I be worried about? What, I mean, it just goes on and on from the moment you open your eyes. And your objective from the moment you open your eyes is to immediately center your attention. Start the day out right. Don't fall for the trick. So, better mental focus for students and adult learners. Now, I'm going to start out, okay, with the techniques that I talked about. First off, let's talk about mental habits. Now, remember, we're talking about some techniques here. We're going to get you into the lifestyle of being a better student and a better learner. Because you've got to master your attention if this is going to happen. There is nothing, there is no trick, there is no brain game, there is nothing superior to making you a better student and a better learner than this, and that is get control of your attention. That is the absolute first thing you need to do, because it is your lack of control over conscious control over your attention that causes every problem you have when it comes to studying and to test taking and exam taking. It is lack of control over attention that is the root of any bad habits you possess, cognitively or behaviorally. Because if you had absolute control over your attention, you would never engage in those bad mental and behavioral habits that interfere with your studying. You would never engage in the cyclical, mechanical, habitual worry and anxiety. You would never engage in the procrastination. You would never look at your studies or your exam taking with regret and disdain and distaste. If you had absolute control over your attention, you would be able to control the thoughts that you associate with those things. So, that's why it's so important. Mental habits is the first thing you need to get control of. Now, there are three lifestyle suggestions that I'm going to put forth. There are others, but there are three things that if you, instead of hanging out with your friends and engaging in mindless, useless conversation, backbiting, rumor-mongering, goofing off, now, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of entertainment here and now, but what is the actual level of value that you gain from hanging around the people that you actually hang around with? What do y'all talk about? I say y'all. I'm from the South. Sorry, guys. What do you all talk about? Are you talking about something that's really worthwhile, or are you talking about something that's stupid that actually sabotages your worth as a human being? Here are three things that you can do, that you can adopt as hobbies that will literally make you a better student and a better learner. Meditation. Take a meditation class. Find somebody who's really good at meditation and ask them to teach you a few things. Now, the only thing I'm concerned about are the skills that can come from meditation. I believe that a lot of meditation practices are worthless because they're less concerned with the skills that you can acquire that can be applied to the rest of your life, and they're more concerned with following somebody. If your meditation practice is about following somebody, it's worthless in this respect. Meditation should be about freedom and self-ownership and cognitive control skills, controlling your attention, controlling your emotion, controlling impulses and urges so that you can own yourself. Meditation is a lifestyle suggestion that you can adopt as a hobby that will help you as a student learner. Now, one form of meditation that I like that makes you more independent as a human being, that makes you more capable, is mindfulness. Do a search in Google on the term mindfulness. Go to YouTube, type in mindfulness in the search, and you'll find videos about mindfulness. It's a very simple practice. It does not require you to be anybody, to have a guru. It does not require you to have some master that you follow around. It's something that you can do every single day, which is simply keep your attention under your own control every single moment that you can, whether you're brushing your teeth, combing your hair, putting on your clothes, walking across a room, moseying down the street, driving your car. Mindfulness is your ability to be there here and now in the present moment rather than being caught up in a thought, which most of us suffer from all day long. From the moment you open your eyes to the moment you go to bed, you are caught up in thought most of the time. Again, I am so glad that Harvard came out with that study. Recent Harvard University study says that human beings, on average, wander mentally 46.9% of the time. And that's on average. Some people more. A lot of people more. Now, I personally believe that 46.9% average is a lot higher. It's just that the method that they used to measure it was not able to track them the entire time. It's actually a lot higher than that. How do I know? I'm a human being. I know. This is what I do for a living. I know that your mind wanders more than 46.9% of the time. So, this mindfulness as a practice, a meditative form, is a fantastic hobby that you can adopt that will make you a better student and a better learner. Why? Because it teaches you to control your attention. And with mindfulness, you can engage in your studies and your test taking and be in the kind of mental state that the absolute top performers in sports and business use when they need to perform. You can be in the zone and in the flow all day long if you get good at mindfulness. In meditation, you cannot have that. Meditation will put you in a great mental state right then, but the value benefit of meditation is that the skills you acquire when meditating, you can then take those skills and try to apply them to everything you do. You can apply them while you're working. You can apply them while you're driving. But with mindfulness, it's an all-day-long affair. You can be mindful all day long. You don't need to go into a meditation session and then try to apply them. You can literally try to be mindful all day long. It's a fantastic practice. I love it. And when you're being mindful, guess what you're not doing? You are not engaging. You are not participating in chaotic thoughts and emotional content. You are not swept away by those mental states. You're an observer of those mental states. You are learning how your mind actually works without participating. And it is in that observation that you are learning there is a thinker behind the thought. There is a creative person. There is a creative intelligence behind the creativity. You will literally start to learn who you really are outside of the thoughts you think about yourself all day long, outside of your opinions. There is a vast intelligence that you're tapping into, and that intelligence is you. If you have never done this, you have no concept of how intelligent and how capable and how brilliant and wise you really are until you get to this state and start living your life from it. So, one more practice, one more hobby that you can adopt that I think is good for you in order to make you a better student, a better learner, is Tai Chi. Now, Tai Chi is something that you'll have access to just like you'll have access to with meditation classes. Tai Chi is the beginning of mindfulness, because in Tai Chi you are learning to do mindful movements without allowing your mind to be caught up in thought or distraction. So those are three lifestyle choices that will help you develop consistent mental habits that you can apply to your studies and to your test taking. The skills you learn in these particular practices will actually help you in test taking and in exam taking by allowing you to not get caught up in worry and anxiety that can pump the wrong types of chemicals into your brain that interfere with your memory, okay, and with your ability to recall information. These practices also allow you to not get caught up in the stinking attitudes and thoughts that people hold towards test taking and towards studying. They allow you to actually enjoy studying in the moment that you're doing it, and you'll start to look forward to it. You'll retain more information because your mind is not distracted by nonsense. Now, physical habits that you can adopt that will make you a better learner and a better student: start eating for vitality. Eat for brain power. Don't eat to get full. Don't eat because you're trying to fill a painful void of unhappiness, so you're reaching for the burgers and the fries and the pizza and everything constantly. Eat for energy and vitality. That means lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, lots of vegetables, steamed vegetables. When you do meats, don't do meat and bread combinations that steal your energy. If it takes a long time for you to digest a particular meal, guess where you're taking energy from? You're taking energy from your brain, your ability to think and recall information and memorize. When you get that tired and exhausted feeling after eating a meal, That's a mental state. That is a mental state, and that's a mental state you do not need if you're going to be an effective student and an effective learner as an adult. Stop allowing yourself to get into that unproductive, disempowering mental state. Eat for vitality and for energy. So when you do eat meat, don't eat meat with bread. If you do eat meat with salads and vegetables. And, of course, better meats to eat are the ones that don't take too long to digest, and that is fish and small portions of, say, chicken, if you're going to eat meat. If you don't eat meat, you're already way ahead of the game. If you're vegan or if you're vegetarian, don't eat a bunch of junk food. Eat vegan and vegetarian if that's what you do. It's strange for me to know so many vegetarians and vegans who are actually unhealthy because they eat so much junk food. So eat for vitality, eat for energy, because why? Your brain is part of your body. As your body feels, so your brain feels, and vice versa. And another great physical habit is physical exercise. Physical exercise is scientifically proven over and over again to actually produce the brain fertilizers you need to be more intelligent and to use more of your potential. Physical exercise produces proteins such as BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, that strengthen and heal the dendrites, the connections between brain cells, and strengthens brain cells themselves, and produces the process called neurogenesis, which is the production of new brain cells. Physical exercise does this. Now, here's the point. This is scientifically proven. Yet you look at athletes, a lot of athletes, and are not sometimes some athletes are not the sharpest knives in the drawer. Not every athlete is the brightest star in the sky. That's because so many athletes, so many athletic people don't have balance. They are not mental athletes along with physical athletes. So you have physical athletes that have all these amazing brain benefits from physical exertion, but they don't use their brain to capitalize on it. And what happens? The brain is a use it or lose it proposition. Whatever you don't lose, whatever you don't use, dies away. Connections in the brain, as you get older, start to shrivel up. Brain cells start to die off. Now, the ability to produce new brain cells and to strengthen connectivity between the brain cells exists all life long, and you can turn it around at any time. But physical exercise combined with mental exercise is the winning combination for greater brain power. So you've got better mental habits, you've got better physical habits, all of which will make you a better student and a better learner. Now, let's talk about better study habits. I'm going to give you one suggestion. If you don't have a study habit that you personally designed that gives you better study results, you got to go out and get one. I'm going to give you a title of a little course that I came across years ago that made – now, I'm a smart guy. I'm not a genius, so to speak. I've got all the tools of genius, but I was not born a genius, but I was born a pretty bright guy. I can perform, and I do perform like a genius. I perform at genius levels. And you'll find that performing at genius levels is a lot more geared toward practical intelligence than mere fluid intelligence. Practical intelligence directly affects your fluid intelligence. But performing at a genius level is not necessarily tied to intelligence quotient. It's not necessarily tied to IQ. Henry Ford is seen as a genius, but Henry Ford was not a man of extremely high IQ. But his practical intelligence was genius because he was able to take his abilities, what little ability he had, and translate it into a vast fortune and large business empire. Other people do the same thing by becoming great athletes, great business people, great parents, great craftspeople. This is genius performance. So, if you've got a, I was able to take an actual studying system and perform brilliantly academically. When I was beforehand, I was unaware that there was such thing as a studying system. The name of that system is where there's a will, there's an A. Where there's a will, there's an A. Look that up. Google it. You'll find it on Amazon. You'll find it on eBay. Get your hands on that system or a competing system that will give you a system, a studying strategy, and then you need to follow that strategy. Don't just study out of habit. Find an effective strategy that's more effective than what you do right now and incorporate it into your study habits. So, thus far, I've given you great mental habits. I've given you great physical habits, great study habits. Now, let's talk technique. Again, the most important thing you can do is master the skill of being able to center your attention. You need to be able to pull your attention as a student, as an adult learner, out of your constant thinking and talking to yourself and the chaotic thoughts and the unwanted thoughts that are constantly moving through your head. You're thinking all day long. So when it comes time to study, you've got to find a way to fight that. You're even thinking while you're studying. Learn to control your attention. Learn to control your attention. Master that skill. And the first thing you need to be able to do is to pull it out of thoughts and bring it back into the room with you. And that is centering your attention. As a student, as a learner, there's a principle. And it's an illustrative principle, okay? It's not literal, it's illustrative. I would like, as a trainer, I would like for you to be able to get to and stay within the space between two thoughts. The space between two thoughts. All day long, you've got boxcars, a train of thoughts that run through your mind. By detaching your attention from thought and bringing it back into the present moment so that you know where you are and what you're doing, so that you hold your attention here, you literally, well, and figuratively, because we're talking an illustration here, you deprive those thoughts of the energy required for them to keep going. Did you get that? By pulling your attention out of thought and into the present moment, into the here and now, or onto an attention target, your breathing, or a dot or a candle flame, you are depriving your thoughts, the ability to continue going around in circles the way they normally do. In fact, if you are able to hold your attention long enough with enough resolve and enough determination, you will literally be able to detect your thoughts starting to slow down. The train starts to slow. And if you're able to hold it with enough resolve and enough determination, you will literally observe your thoughts start to come to a standstill. They'll slow down enough to where you can see brief periods of quiet between the thoughts. Thought occurs, thought fades away, and then there's silence. And at first, it's strange. And for some people, it's even scary because people feed on thoughts all day long to where if those thoughts were to disappear, they would find themselves in absolute unfamiliar territory. That silence literally will frighten people because they're used to the chaos all day long. Hold your attention centered with enough resolve, with enough determination to keep it where it needs to be. Thoughts will slow down and you will start to detect the possibility and the experience of not being bothered by chaotic thoughts. And it's a different experience. And as a trainer, I would want for you to be able to experience that, even if briefly, because all you need to do is experience it briefly to know the possibility exists. It's like you're walking through a hilly forest looking for the castle, and all you see is trees around you, just chaos and noise. You're in the wilderness. But when you get to the top of a hill, off in the distance, above the trees, you see a flag waving in the breeze. And that inspires you because you know that is the pennon, the flag, on top of the castle. So the castle is over there somewhere. You see it, it inspires you, and then you keep on moving forward until you begin to see more and more of the castle, until one day you occupy the castle. And the only way you are ever evicted from the castle is if you simply forget to control your attention. That's what it's like. My wish for you is that you are able to detect the space between two thoughts. Now, again, initially it's going to be brief. The thought will fade away. You'll detect the possibility of silence. You may even experience quiet, calm. And then before you know it, boom, here comes thought again. Because it's a cognitive habit. It's wired into your brain. It's going to take time to be able to slow those things down at will, bring them to a standstill, and stay there. But you can do it using strategic attention targets at will. It's just a matter of how long can you hold it, and then are you willing to endure the discomfort that you may feel by when you strain to make it happen? Because it's like lifting a weight in a gym. It really is. It's like holding out a weight. You're going to get tired. But the more you do it, the more mental endurance you'll have. Now, you slow the thought down, you detect the silence, and then your mission is to stay in that quiet. And the way you're going to do that is to develop the habit of doing it over and over and over again. That's what mental training is for. That's what attention control training is for, to be able to detach yourself and then decline thought. What happens? Your self-awareness increases. You are now able to detect when a thought is trying to pull at your attention. Now, if you're not in control of your attention in that moment, you're not going to be able to detect yourself being swept away in a thought. You're just simply going to wind up in a thought, and you're not even going to realize it. You see this all day long. You experience this when you're driving in a car, brushing your teeth. You're gone. You're not even there. You are not even alive because your attention is completely immersed in a thought, in self-talk. You don't even know you're in the room. Well, as you train, you'll start to detect that. You'll pull yourself back into the present moment, and you will keep an eye out for the temptation because it's an allure. It's like bait. Your thoughts bait you into allowing them to sweep you away, and you'll politely decline it. That way, when you're getting ready to study, you'll detect resistance before it sweeps you away and causes you to procrastinate. While you're in the midst of studying, you will detect distraction before it's able to sweep you away. Matter of fact, you'll get so good, you can detect distraction while you're in it because you'll be able to detect the anxiety that distraction causes, and you'll snap yourself out of it. You'll come back to the present moment. You'll center your attention. You'll shake off any tension that you have in your muscles. You'll place yourself in a comfortable position. You'll breathe deep. You'll get oxygen flowing again to where you're in a good mental state, and then you'll direct your attention back to your studies so that you can retain more, so that you can read a bit faster, so that you can understand complex information with greater ease intuitively. That's why you practice attention control skills. And I'll be doggone, I got 5 minutes left in the show, and we still haven't really gotten to the to the techniques yet. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to skip over some stuff about the philosophies. I'm going to go ahead and start talking about some basic techniques. In a way, I have given you some technique. I've talked about the ability to simply go back to a target. If you sign up, if you have 7 days of Better Brain Fitness, or if you're a subscribing member of the NeuroSculpting Training Studio, especially if you're a subscribing member, you're going to have tons of techniques that you can use. The point of most of these techniques is that you need an attention target. The first technique that you need to learn is to be able to put your attention on your breath, to know and realize that you're breathing. Last week, I gave you a statement that is so important, and it is this. If you've forgotten the fact that you're breathing, if you can't even pay attention to your breath, then you are not in control of your attention. If in this moment you're not aware that you're breathing, you're not aware that you're alive. That means you don't have control of your attention. Practice 15, 20 minutes a day just giving attention to the fact that you are breathing. Don't allow your mind to get caught up in anything. Simply breathe. 1,000 times during that 15 minutes, your mind is going to try to distract you. And your only mission is to simply hold your attention on the breath, period. The deeper and more relaxed and more paced you are with the breath, the easier it will be for you because that attention target will be in motion. You'll be operating it. Learn to center your attention. Now, another technique I'd like you to really master, practice walking across a room without telling yourself and talking to yourself through the process of walking across a room. Can't you simply walk across a room and have your attention with you? After that, you're simply going to walk down the street and never once allow your attention to get caught up in a thought. We're getting into what? We're getting into mindfulness now. Then you're going to practice studying without allowing your attention to drift off into thought. Practice this. Set an alarm every 5 minutes. Let it go off in 5 minutes. When that alarm goes off, were you caught up in a thought? Were you engaged in distraction? Well, your job is to simply bring your attention back. Before you sit down to take a test, are you caught up in the distraction of negative self-talk and worrying anxiety? What do? Center your attention. Because these are things you're going to learn in the privacy and comfort of your attention control training exercises. You're going to learn these things in private. Then you're going to practice them in study and in test taking. Practice them at all times. Brushing your teeth, combing your hair, getting dressed, even when you're watching television. Why should you allow yourself to simply drift off into the entertainment? Can't you watch television as an observer rather than as a participant? I'd like you to keep these things in mind because I've given you a philosophy and some techniques and approaches to get you started that will make you a better student and a better adult learner. Hopefully, you'll go ahead and tune into next week's show where I'll talk about attention control and we'll talk about a lot more techniques, okay? Thank you for tuning in to the Mental Power Hour, and I look forward to talking to you next week.